Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
Acts 8:14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had accepted God's message of life, they sent Peter and John to pray over them so that they would receive the Holy Spirit, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and were yet to have had the Holy Spirit fall upon them. As soon as Peter and John arrived, they laid hands on the Samaritan believers, one after another, and the Holy Spirit fell and filled them, each one of them. Acts 8:14 through, 17. I've been teaching on this for many years. Many of you know that I go to Youth with a Mission, and I teach on the Holy Spirit. It's one of my favorite topics. Let me just back up. The Holy Spirit is one of my favorite people. And some of you are like, wait, it's not a person. Well, I know. But he is the only God on planet Earth. If the Father is in heaven and Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And so when you read this, it's really interesting, isn't it? For they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had only received the message, believed the message of the gospel. They had only been baptized. So they had only been baptized. It's like the word only there is translated merely. So what does this passage mean? It means that accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus is your sole source of salvation and eternal life, being baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is merely the beginning. It's merely the beginning. And it blows. I mean, I just watch people's brains just go poof whenever they think like, wait, I thought that was the whole reason we call ourselves Christians, is to believe in Jesus and be baptized in him. It's like, okay, well, there's a series of like growth progressions that we go through. And, you know, before Christ, we were living for ourselves, And then we come into faith and we're often living for God for ourselves. It's like, oh, I get the benefits. Isn't it interesting that as you grow, you live for God for God? He becomes Lord, and part of his lordship is like empowering us to be representatives, to represent him on the planet. And so we have like an understanding that after we have given our lives to Jesus, after we have obeyed him into baptism, and we have identified with his death, burial, and resurrection, that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so we have this journey of receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's so that we can become what Jesus states in Acts 1:8. We can be his witnesses, or we can be representatives to our neighbors and to the nations. There's been a lot happening in our little community in this last weekend. Do you guys know in the last like 4 or 5 days, there's been like a big conference at Caris, and Randy Clark and Bill Johnson and those guys were there. And then in addition to that, in Divide, one of my mentors, Terry Wardle, was up at Little Chapel of the Hills presenting a conference really entitled Seeking. And I just love, Chris was there, and I just love sitting under his teaching and hearing Terry speak. There's also one major event that's happening in our community, and that is that it's our anniversary. Happy anniversary. Hey, I got to put that in the same category as all these awesome things happening. This is awesome, Tiffany. 34 years. Come on. We've been praying for miracles. You're witnessing one. No, no, it's true. I mean, like, life is hard, you know, and it's like miracles come in all shapes and sizes, and we love it when, you know, the Holy Spirit enters a space and people get laid out. We love that, but we actually love Jesus more, right? I mean, it's like, do we want Jesus? Do we want him in the midst of our stuff? Do we want him in the midst of our marriages? Do we want him in the midst of our parenting, in the midst of our work, in the midst of our creativity? We want him in all of that because we want him. We really want him. And so we understand things about his presence. We understand things about, like, for example, the omnipresence of God, which means what? He's everywhere. And yet we also understand that there's a manifest presence of God where the presence of the Lord becomes like tangible to us. Like we can experience it. Whether, like, sometimes I have these weird, like, things happen in my body when I feel like the presence of the Holy Spirit is near to me. I feel like these, I don't know, like I'm doing crunches. It's like Holy Spirit crunches. Like in my stomach, I'm like, yeah, I'm getting fit. Fit for Jesus. No, it's just weird stuff. It's like, how does that happen? I don't know. I mean, I've seen people shake. I've seen people fall down. I've seen people have goosebumps. I have goosebumps. I cry sometimes. You know, it's like these experiences that we have when the Holy Spirit's presence comes near to us. And that's, it seems like, you know, for me, I want to be aware of both the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit and the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit. But I want to also, in light of praying for the awareness of the presence, the omnipresence of God, the manifest presence of God, allow me to add what we could call the incarnate presence of God. I was with someone yesterday and I realized they're Jesus in disguise right now for me. In other words, like I was experiencing something of Jesus through their life. They were like the incarnate presence of the Lord for me. And they encouraged me and I felt strengthened in that. And it was like, you know, I can't remember who said it. They had this kind of like, they envisioned it this way. It's like, you remember when computers started like really becoming a thing? We're going back some years. And you could program like a face and it was like printed out on you. Remember this? And it was letters that were making the face. Like all the, like the face from a distance, you could see that's a face. And then you got it closer. You're like, actually, those are a bunch of letters and numbers. So the vision was this. There's Jesus. Actually, I see all the pixelated faces of the people in my world that I know who represent the man Christ Jesus to me. And so it's not either or. It's yes and. Like, yes, this is Jesus. Yes, I have an interior life with Jesus. And I look to find him in disguise all around me. Like, I want to... I mean, I'm just like, I see Jesus in you so very often. And that's the incarnate presence, right? So what's more is by receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not just that we begin to represent Jesus as part of that kind of incarnate presence of him on the earth, but we also receive the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and it transforms us to be formed into the image of Jesus so that we're looking more and more like him, like it's actually a clearer picture, mirror image, as it were. So Let me just say this. Behavior modification alone does not transform us. The power of God at work within you, moving through you, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, is what makes you a new creation in Christ Jesus, right? So, that being said, it's an interesting passage, isn't it? Acts 8, 14 through 17, the Samaritans had experienced Philip coming into their city. Oh, and why did Philip come into their city? Because he was being persecuted in his city, along with all the other believers, and they dispersed. And in their dispersion, they preached the gospel of Jesus everywhere that they went. Do you realize that Philip, this is not the same Philip that was an apostle. This is the Philip that was the deacon. This is the Philip that was one of the seven who was assigned to actually feed the widows and distribute the goods to the people. He was like a servant leader. He wasn't like one of the quote-unquote big shots. But I got to tell you, when you read Acts 8 and you read what he did in the power of the Holy Spirit when he walked into that city, like people who had been tormented by demons and evil spirits were being set free. People who were paralyzed were being healed. People who were sick were recovering. And people were paying attention to Philip. And when Philip preached the gospel, like, there was great joy in the city. Oh, and they had merely accepted the gospel of Jesus and been baptized into Jesus, into his name. And so when the apostles in Jerusalem heard this, they sent Peter and John so that they could be praying for these folks so that they could receive the Holy Spirit. Now, the word receive there is really an important word for us, because the word receive there is the word that can be used to take hold of or to obtain. That changes the tense, doesn't it? It's no longer, hey, I'm going to sit back and hope that something awesome happens. It's like I have an active participation in this. To receive is to, like, to receive, to take hold of, to obtain, to respond, and to set your heart to respond. So it denotes an active participation in receiving, taking hold of. And again, in verse 17, they received the Holy Spirit. It says that they took hold of. It was like past tense. They obtained. So there's an interesting piece of language in there, right? That I think is important for us to kind of shift this into a gear of asking ourselves these kinds of questions. Am I endeavoring to take hold of everything that God has for me? First Timothy 6:11-12, Paul is writing to Timothy saying, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So, there it is. It's like the encouragement of Papa Paul, you know. He's like spiritual dad to Timothy saying, Timothy, take hold of it. Lean towards it. Now, there's a sweet spot here for us, isn't there? Because we want to wait on the Lord to initiate. Because, like I said, behavior modification doesn't transform us. Because what it does is it can change some things about us, but change is actually, like, if I think about it, this is something Terry brought up this weekend, it's like something that I initiate. Like, I choose to change. But transformation is initiated by God, and it's a journey of faith that God wants to, because it is God who is at work within us to both will and to do his good pleasure, right? So part of his good pleasure is to transform us. not only into the likeness of Jesus, but transform us into the truest nature of who we are as sons and daughters, the real life that God is offering to each one of us, right? Because if anyone is in Christ, they're new creations. How many of you live in the fullness of your new creation? I mean, it's like, okay, it's a constant. Put off the old, put on the new. Clothe yourself in love. Experience a process of being transformed by taking hold of it. And so this reference to taking hold, it's kind of that sweet spot, because we want to wait on the Lord to initiate his movement in our lives. And then we actively make a choice to fasten our hearts to everything that God has for us. And we respond to his invitation to receive more than we could ever ask or imagine. Paul again refers to this taking hold as a process in his own journey with Jesus. In Philippians 3, verse 12, Paul writes this, "I admit that I haven't yet acquired or taken hold of it entirely." This is right after he goes through his pedigree, like, hey, if there's anyone righteous, it's me. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a this, I'm a that. I've done this, I've done that, and I consider it all rubbish for the sake of knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. And I admit that I have not yet acquired or taken hold of it fully, the absolute fullness that I am pursuing. But I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Jesus Christ laid hold of me to make me his own. So who's the initiator here, really? So we're responding, so there's that sweet spot. It's a process. As much as Paul had experienced like transformation in his life, he's still like at a place of saying, but I have to admit, I haven't fully acquired it or taken hold of it. But I am pressing on. I'm running with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Jesus Christ laid hold of me to make me his own. And get this in verse 13. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. Again, it's not behavior modification. That's only going to get you so far, but it will never turn a hater into a lover, right? However, I do have one compelling focus. And this is probably a key for us. If we're going to answer the question like, am I willing to lay hold of everything that God has for me, then it might help us to just let the Holy Spirit address our focus. It says this, I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. This seems to be like the key for Paul, like the hinge pin on it's going to go this way or this way. I'm either going to acquire more, I'm going to experience a more like intimate infilling and indwelling of the Holy Spirit in my life, or I'm not. And this one compelling focus, I forgot all of the past as I fastened my heart to the future instead. Now, this is a bit nuanced, in my opinion, and it's subject to some interpretation. And I want to offer, just humbly, I want to offer my interpretation of what this can mean. Because I've often heard people use this as a reason why they would never go in to a healing journey for the Lord to redeem their past, or to reclaim areas of their life that had experienced tremendous wounding, where they had been agreeing with false beliefs or maybe ungrieved loss. So they would look at this verse and say, I'm just going to forget about this, so it's walled off. I forget about all that. I'm not even going to focus on that. I'm just going to look towards what's ahead. Now, there's nothing absolutely wrong about that, unless part of the initiation of God is to say, I want to go on a healing journey with you. It's part of my abundance for you. I don't want you to be locked down in areas of your life, maintaining with the hope that your future is going to be big and bright when there are things about your past that are still sabotaging you because you have these mindsets and filters and ways of looking at things that are hindering you from experiencing and expressing the fullness of who you are. So these are my thoughts that there's this thing about, okay, I love Paul saying, I fasten my heart to the future. I love it. Because he understands, because he just said it, that I run with passion into God's abundance. So he has this beautiful anticipation of God because he's experienced God as abundant. He's experienced God as the fulfillment of his deepest core longings. He's experienced God. That's why he's able to say, all these things that I've done in my life, rubbish, compared to knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection, because in that is where I find abundance. So I love it. I love it. But you have to know that Paul went on a journey. You know, after the road to Damascus experience, where Jesus appeared to Paul, and Paul went blind in the brightness of that experience, and then received his eyesight, received the Holy Spirit. Do you know how many years before Paul actually like flipped that switch and became like public ministry guy? Do you have any clue? Over a decade. It was about 14 years. You have to know that he and the Lord were doing business. That there was a reclamation of his heart happening in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when he came in, out of that season of reclamation, reclaiming your heart. You know what I mean by reclamation? It's like, you know, you go on these trails and they have these really long switchbacks and people have decided, no, I'm going to cut the switchback because that's the shortcut. Like, and then they put these signs up. They say, close for reclamation. The part that has been scarred on the mountain, the part that has been scarred in your heart, the Lord wants to reclaim it and he wants to put abundance there again, right? So that's kind of the point of that word. Paul makes it clear that God is initiating this. Jesus Christ has taken hold of us. He's taken hold of Paul. And I guess it begs this question, why are we reluctant to actively lay hold of everything that God has for us? Why are we reluctant? I think it ties a little bit to this idea about forgetting the past, because what we have to do there is we have to like come into the real understanding of what that word means, forgetting. Could it be that, as Paul stated this, as he is forgetting the past and fastening his heart to the future instead, that what he is in fact saying is, in my process of obtaining everything that God has for me, I'm allowing the abundance of Christ to redeem my past and renew my thinking. Because you have to know that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have to know that Jesus is actually very intentional about this. And so the forgetting part is this. This is the way that it's literally translated. To lose it out of your mind. It doesn't mean to lose your mind. It means that whatever power the past has had over your thinking, it's lost its power. So how does that happen? Well, I can just say this. Concepts alone do not rewire the brain. Ideas alone do not rewire the brain. The same way that your patterns of thinking were established, which are through experiences that are emotion-laden experiences, and some of these filters and patterns and ways of thinking have created like these self-sabotaging, death-oriented patterns of thinking. And in the same way that those were originally established, Jesus is saying, I want to go on a journey where you experience my abundance, where you experience my healing, where you experience me as the source of your fulfillment in the deepest places of your heart. And Only that will transform you, and only that will rewire your brain. So I'm just offering that, my humble interpretation of what this means. Our patterns of thinking, our filters, they're formed through experiences and all of that. And Jesus is so, so committed to bringing wholeness to us. So back to the question. Are there any ways that you're reluctant to actively lay hold of everything that God has for you? And if so, do you ever feel in any way that you're disqualified to receive the fullness of God? Maybe that's one reason why you're reluctant. Or has your past informed you that maybe you cannot fully trust God? Is that even permissible to say? Yes, absolutely. And it's kind of like the guy who says, I believe, but help my unbelief. I trust, but help my distrust. And so this part about like trusting the Lord and entering into this place of like feeling safe with Him, it's like honestly, it's going to come from experiencing His abundance. And really attaching to Him in a way that you feel secure. Over time. So anyway, let me just kind of wrap it up by saying this. You know, I heard this once. I don't even know if it's true. Has anyone ever been in like some foreign country where monkeys run around? And like, is it true that they have this trap for monkeys where they take a coconut and they put a little hole in the coconut and then they put food in the coconut and then they attach that coconut to a tree? And then the monkey goes in there and the hole's big enough for the monkey to like put its hand through the hole, but when it grabs the food, it makes a fist too big to come through the hole. Is this true?
Yes.
Okay, Ethan said it. It must be true. And then they're stuck there, and they are so reluctant to let go of what they've grabbed hold of that they will allow themselves to be trapped. So I just simply offer that as an analogy to ask this question. What do we need to let go of in order to lay hold of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit offered to us by God? It's like, you know, today's the day of Pentecost, right? On the calendar, like for the liturgical church, today is the day of Pentecost. Last week was Shavuot, which if you're following the Jewish calendar, you know that that was after Passover. We go with Easter, and so it's Pentecost. This is the day that we celebrate as the day that the Holy Spirit came upon the church and they received power. You have to know that The people who were in the upper room when that happened, they had lost everything. They were actually, they were so confused. I mean, one of the last questions after Jesus had spent 40 days with them after his resurrection, teaching on the kingdom of God, one of the last questions that the disciples asked Jesus is now the time that you will establish your throne? Thinking that this is going to be a military overthrow and that the Romans are going to be booted out and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, Terry Wardle puts it like this, if there was ever a time where Jesus rolled his eyes, right? And he's like, don't do anything. Don't start anything. Don't plan anything. Wait. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. And it's in that power that I will transform the world through your lives. So that's the kingdom of God on earth. And that's what we are all about, and that's what we want to lay hold of. And so this was something that I wanted to bring this morning. I want to encourage us to ask ourselves the question, am I still leaning forward and ready to lay hold of? Have I still set it in my heart to really fasten my heart towards the future, which is a future of an abundant experience with God that is, it's just absolutely bathed in His grace, and it's absolutely bathed in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And if the answer to that is yes, I want to lean into that. I want to receive the power of the Holy Spirit fresh for my life, because remember, process. And yes, I love the stories. I have my own stories of when God met me in the past. But you have to know that, that's a good like point of reference, but it does not always sustain me for today. And so I would like to offer to lay hands on anyone who wants to receive the power and the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit today. I'd like to invite Chris to come up and be a part of that. Chris, I may need another piece of gum. Like, I'm just going to, this is self-awareness. I've been drinking lots of coffee this morning, and the last thing I want is for you to experience the power of my breath. Over the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me pray. Why don't we stand together? Jesus, I love that you give us permission to be honest about our reluctance. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us find some courage to just lean into this idea that you have more for us. That you have experienced far greater than ours. And you have confidence far greater than ours about the power of transformation that comes through the presence of your Spirit in our lives. And you also have a full understanding that you've created us to be part of something that is vibrant and alive. And that, yes, it has its challenge, like life is challenging. And in light of that, you're still inviting us to the table of abundance. Lord, you've got me thinking about that again. I prayed that at the beginning of our time. I'm thinking about it again. It's like, okay, in the presence of what? Our enemies, you prepare a table before us and our cup overflows. Lord, I just want to ask you, as was prayed earlier, give us the courage to not look for a way out, but look for the table. That's where the fulfillment is. So Lord, come in your power and your presence. And as we pray these simple prayers, of praying for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be poured out into individuals' lives, take these feeble prayers of ours, Lord, and use them as seeds to grow things in people that are going to produce fruit that remains for generations to come. So, Lord, we just offer this time to you now in the powerful and beautiful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Kind of in this posture of receiving. Again, I do not want to reduce this to a show, but I want this to be authentically for you. Like, I want the Holy Spirit to come into your life and in ways that are profound for you. And that's my hope. So I'm simply offering this as an opportunity. If you need to slip out, that's fine. Zero judgment on that. Let's just be a free people who want to receive what God has for us this morning. So I welcome you to just come forward.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org. and be sure to like our Facebook page.